and a half hours. I rarely am given that much time to speak. I haven't been able to speak that long since I left Indonesia 2 years ago, so it's really going to be fun. Will you have a song ready kind of about an hour and a half from now, Ron? Kind of, you know, they may need a little help. Okay? Saya dengar ada banyak orang dari Indonesia di sini. Tolong, siapa yang berasal dari Indonesia, tolong angkat tangan. Oh, hebat sekali. Oh, just about enough Indonesians. I can speak in Indonesian. We can have Yanti come and interpret, huh? Be all right. Thank you. How many from Malaysia? They would have understood Indonesian also, but great. Singapore. Wonderful. Taiwan. Okay. Hong Kong. A few sneaked in from Hong Kong. Okay. How about mainland China? Good. Okay. Good. Japan? Hey, good. Okay. How about Thailand? Thailand? I know all those Asian countries. See, that's... I won't do so well when we get to Africa, but... Philippines? Korea. Oh, Korea. Okay. Hey, good. Philippines? One. Okay. Two, right? Another one? Okay. Come on, another one back there sneaked up his hand to the Philippines. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, come on. Come on, put it up. Got one more time. Philippines! Okay, all right. Sri Lanka? India? Okay, good. Huh? We could go on and on and on. Let's see, you got to go all the way around the world. Let's see, what are you going to do here? Burma? Pakistan? Hey, good girl, good. Okay, wonderful. I didn't think we'd have any. Pakistan? Bangladesh? Nepal? Huh? I better stop, hadn't I? Japan? No, I thought I said Japan. Did I miss Japan? Huh? I'm going to kind of go Middle East. Let's see. Lebanon? Okay. Hey, okay. Bahrain? Huh? Anybody from there? Let's see. Well, where? Bahrain? Huh? Egypt? Okay. You know who Ron and Selva Rohrbaugh are? Well, Ron and Selva Rohrbaugh and my wife Carolyn and I, before we were married, lived here at Glen Eyrie. Ron used to spend hours with me in prayer, personal fellowship, would take me down to the streets of Colorado Springs, sharing his life and helping me learn how to share my faith. And Carolyn and Selva are best of friends. We have been best of friends for more years than I'm going to mention, actually. But we didn't always have white hair. I'll just say that. And a few years ago, Ron went to Egypt to help set up a printing press and help the Navigator Ministries get involved in printing there. So they do more than sing. They have been involved in sharing their lives with people for over 30 years. So please, you take time over meals and break times and free afternoons to get to know Ron and Selva. And ask them any questions, all your hard questions. Gene can't answer, you know, and John Hine can't answer. Ron and Selva can answer all those questions. They've been teaching the Bible and sharing their faith around the United States and different parts of the world. And so take time to get to know them. And that could be a very meaningful part of your conference here. Okay, Egypt made me think of that, see? Ah, okay. Now, where? Iran? Iran? Huh? Okay. Now, how many times is he going to raise his hand back there? Okay. Other Middle Eastern countries. Okay. Let's see. Kenya.
Ah,
first time, got it. Good, okay. Uganda? Huh? Zimbabwe? Zimbabwe? Good, okay. Any other African nations represented? Huh? Speak up. Malawi. Okay, Malawi? Huh? Okay, he's from two countries. Okay, good. Okay, now let's see. Africa. We got Africa. Latin America. Anybody from South America? Good. Which country?
Ecuador.
Good. Okay. Other South American countries? Peru. Thank you. Good. Okay. Brazil? Sao Paulo? Huh? El Salvador? Good. Okay. Puerto Rico? Another one. Okay. Any other South American countries? Latin American countries? Okay. Anybody from Europe? I just kind of lump Europe all together, see? Okay. All? No Europeans. Okay. Great. Did we miss anybody? Canada. Oh, yeah. Canadians. Okay. Good. Great. Any place else we missed? Ohio, that's a foreign country. That's there. That's from Ohio. That's right, boy. Yeah, you're brave to come in this crowd. I mean to tell you. Good. Well, it helps me to know just a little bit who's here and where you're from. And my English is not very good. I lived in Indonesia for over 17 years. And so it's not my age. Sometimes, you know, my English, I forget words. And sometimes I say things and who knows what's going to come out. I mean, the motor starts, but then who knows what comes out. So we have to just make an agreement that over this next week, as I'm speaking and something comes out that you don't understand, just, you know, put your hand up or, you know, move your head or something to get my attention. I don't want to embarrass you, but if, please, just take a minute, raise your hand, and I'll try to be sensitive, and we'll stop and just clear that up, okay? It won't bother me, and I'll probably need stop from time to time anyway. So you please, just as we go along, interrupt, and we'll work on English that hopefully we all understand, okay? If you don't understand that, we're really in trouble. When I was a recent graduate from university, I had moved from Sterling, Kansas, where I graduated from college, moved to Lincoln, Nebraska to teach school and live with some young men who were involved in growing together in our Christian lives. And as we were living together and studying the Bible together and going out to the University of Nebraska to share our faith, this was a new experience for me as I was learning from these men we were living with to go out and share our faith with others. One of the things that we prayed was Psalm 2:8. And I can remember getting down on our knees on a weekly basis praying together as we would go out to talk to young men about their relationship with Jesus Christ and their purpose. And one of the verses that God drew to my attention to pray was Psalm chapter 2, verse 8. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and their uttermost parts of the earth as your possessions. And as I prayed over that passage of Scripture, the closest concept that came to my mind as to how God might answer that prayer would be as I would be witnessing and sharing my faith on a campus, maybe God would lead me to an interested international student who would give his life to Jesus Christ and return to his country, and therefore that verse might be fulfilled as I would have a part in seeing people in another country come to know Christ. It was the farthest thing beyond my imagination at 22 years old, as I prayed over that verse week after week, that one day God would give me the privilege of living in a foreign country, learning another language, learning another culture, and seeing God work in a mighty way. And it's a thrill for me to be here with you, because God is still answering that prayer as He continues to give us an involvement with men and women around the world. It's phenomenal as we pray. And we try to think in our minds how God might answer that prayer. And a simple little prayer like Psalm 2:8, "Ask of me," says God, "and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possessions." Not personal possessions, not my name on any bank accounts in those countries, but involvement and friends, our closest friends in some of these countries in Asia. And it's a delight to be with you. Well, how did I get to that place at 22, praying on my knees with a group of men and opening the Bible and praying over verses in the Bible and asking God to work in our lives and work through us? My grandfather, I do have 2.5 hours, don't I? My grandfather, "Hi, Chandra, I didn't see you under that red hat. Apakabar. Dari Gamuka, Tama Gamuk di Oklahoma. Oh, I expected. Now that my eyes have opened, I see people I recognize all over this place. Hi, Sherry. I'll try to. My grandfather immigrated to the United States from Italy when he was 18. He and an older brother came to the United States, and then his brother went to Brazil, and my grandfather stayed here. And so I come from a poor background. My grandfather worked on the railroad. And, of course, he was from a Catholic background. He married, had some children. His wife died, and he married about a third-generation American. And then my mother was born from his second wife. My mother and my father did not have a church upbringing. They were not taken to church when they were young. Those of you who have been here in the United States studying for some time know that although the United States, in your minds, is called a Christian nation, there are many, many people in America who do not go to church, who have no right concept of God. Many of you who are coming from Asian and African and Latin American countries have a better understanding of God than many Americans. And my parents were like that. About the time my mother and father married, my mother's older brother came to know Christ through some friends and began associating himself with a local church. And because my mother and father were just married, they thought maybe they should go to church with my uncle. And so when we children were young, our parents would take us to church. But I can remember being very frustrated. Some of you had to stand up in the back to see these words when we were all standing up. And I felt like that as a very young boy, because my parents would always walk in the church and sit as far in the back as they could. And I would sit back there and couldn't see anything that was happening. And I can remember thinking, as long as we're here, why don't we sit where I can see? And there we'd sit in the back, and I could never figure out what it was all about. When I was in about my 9th year of school, about 14 or 15 years old, there were some special meetings at our church. and a guest speaker came in to speak for that week of meetings. And as I was sitting there, I had gone to two or three evenings of the meetings, and one of my best friends, at the end of the meeting, asked if I would not like to seriously consider what the speaker was talking about in terms of my personal relationship to Jesus Christ. By that time, I'd been attending church a number of years and had some understanding of the message of the Bible. I thought I understood who Jesus Christ was. I knew very well that I was separated from God, that I was a sinner. I'd known that for some time, actually. In fact, I can remember when I was in the second grade, my teacher, Miss Stock, thought I was one of the nicest boys in class. We lived across the street from the school, so every day I would walk home from school and eat lunch and come back. And I would walk up to Miss Stock's desk and I would put a candy bar on her desk. And I'd go sit down, and the next day I would go home and eat lunch and come back and put a candy bar on her desk. What she didn't know was that every day I would go by Mr. Fuller's drugstore, steal two candy bars, eat one, and put one on Miss Stock's desk. One time, my mother gave me a nickel, 5 cents, to buy a pencil or something. And I came home from school and hung my jacket up. And a little later, my mother called me. You know, by the sound of your mother's voice, you can tell whether she's calling you for dessert or something else. And she said, "Jimmy!" And I knew something was wrong. And she called me in and walked me to my jacket and said, "How much money did I give you this morning?" "Oh, 5 cents. "Well, where did you get these pencils and paper and erasers and notebook?" "Oh, well, Mr. Fuller had a sale at his drugstore." When my father came home from work, he and I took a trip to Mr. Fuller's drugstore. I remember standing in front of Mr. Fuller, telling him I was a thief. He was about 7 feet tall and about 4 feet wide. And I knew I was going to spend the rest of my life in jail. Well, unfortunately, confessing my sin as a thief to Mr. Fuller didn't stop my being a thief. I just got more sneaky. And by the time I was in the ninth year of school, I had become disappointed with Boy Scouts because I had cheated my way into second-class scouting. And when I had been in the high Y and I was selling little badges and things, I had pocketed some of the money instead of turning it in. And this was a pattern of my life. And no one knew what was going on down inside. The lying, and the stealing, and the cheating. But I knew I was a sinner. I knew that I could not control the habits in my life. I remember my language was so bad, I could hardly say a sentence without words coming out that we hear on television all the time now. But words I was not proud of. And a friend of mine and I decided that we would try to help one another change our language when we were in the ninth grade. And I remember his nickname was Bud. And we made a pact, an agreement with one another. We said, "Now every day after school, if you have used those words that you wish you didn't use, you tell me, and I'll hit you as hard as I can on the shoulder. And you do the same." Okay, that should work. He was bigger than I was, and I thought, that'll help. And we tried it. First day after school, "How'd you do?" "Oh, terrible." "How'd you do?" "Bad." Next day, "How'd you do?" "Terrible." It lasted about 4 days. Our shoulders were so sore, it wasn't doing anything to our minds or our mouth. So we quit. So as I sat there and my friend asked if I would like to talk to the speaker to consider the decision that he was asking us to make in terms of considering Jesus Christ and his offer to provide forgiveness for our sins and offer to provide power to change our habits and our thought life, to become the king of my life, I said, yes, I really would. And I can remember going to a little room, the pastor's study, and that night, in a very simple prayer, telling God for the first time ever, not my friend and asking him to beat me on the shoulder, not confessing to a drugstore owner, but for the first time telling God I was a sinner. And telling him that I understood that Jesus Christ had taken all of my sin on the cross and dying on the cross in my place and taking all of my guilt. And all I had to do was ask him to come in my life and be my Savior, be my King. And I prayed and asked him to do that. Now, nothing dramatic happened. I heard no voices. I didn't see anything visibly take place. I didn't feel any different. But I remember then the next day began a desire to read and understand the Bible. And I began a couple of my junior high school friends and I started meeting a little bit early and going to one of the empty classrooms to pray. And I had never prayed before. I remember not too long after that, another church was having special meetings with a special speaker like I had been going to. And my best friend, we had stolen together and things like that, and got in a lot of trouble. And I remember I was so desirous for him to have the same forgiveness of sin I had. I went to a school dance and went on the dance floor and tried to talk him into leaving the dance to go to this meeting with me so that he would hear the same story I heard. I had different desires. I had different things inside of me. I had different thought patterns. My desires were different. I didn't change immediately. But as I invited Christ in my life, changes took place. And as I began to read the Bible and pray, I began to come to know God, His Son Jesus Christ, in a way I had never known before. Well, high school was very difficult, my 3 or 4 years of high school. I struggled. I had these desires to grow and know God and be different. And yet I would be up and down and my life was inconsistent. I remember asking a youth director in our church. I remember going to her house after school one day. I was about 16. And I said, Mrs. Locke, I really want to be the kind of Christian that I think I should be from what I understand in the Bible. But how does a person live the Christian life? How does a person continue not doing the things that he did before? She said, well, you fill your life so full of Christian activities, you don't have time to sin. I said, oh, is that all? Yes. Oh, good. Thank you. And as I walked home, I thought, let's see. Sunday morning, Sunday school, church, evening youth group and evening church. I can make it through Sunday. No problem. Monday. I didn't know any Christian activities Monday. Tuesday. Wednesday. Oh, that's when all those old people go to church Wednesday night. Well, maybe I could do that. Thursday. Friday. Now, that's when I started having trouble because my friends were going out drinking and racing cars and doing all those kind of things. And Saturday. Sunday. Ah, Sunday. Church, Sunday school. I can handle Sunday. I couldn't figure out how to get from Sunday to Sunday. I did fine Sunday. It was the other days. The other six. It wasn't until I got to college. And my first week of college, I was visiting with a fellow named Butch. And Butch said, come by and see me tonight after, you know, dinner. So after classes and evening, I went to visit. And after we talked about all our classes and the girlfriends and all those important things, Butch said, well, let's read a chapter and pray before you leave. And I thought, good idea. And then I watched to see what book he was going to take off the bookshelf. Chemistry or physics or history or... Let's read a chapter and pray. I thought, good idea. Okay. He took the Bible off the bookshelf. He opened it and we read a little bit. And we prayed. Didn't hurt. A few days later, I was visiting with Tom. Same thing. We talked about all these hard tests and everything. Let's read a chapter and pray before you leave. Oh, sure. Wonder if he'll read out of the Bible too. Sure enough, Bible, read, prayed. A few days later, another guy. Read a chapter and pray. All these guys do the same thing. They read the Bible and pray. Every time I'm with them, read the Bible and pray. They must do that every day. What a good idea. A few years later, I thought, I bet that's what Mrs. Luck meant when she said, fill your life so full of Christian activity, you don't have time to sin. Because after being around these men and they're teaching me how to read the Bible and pray, I started getting up in the morning and reading the Bible. A few verses a day and having communion with my Creator, the Lord, who I'd asked to come into my life. But all those years in high school, it was up and down because I didn't understand the relationship between the Bible, the living Word of God, and how to maintain my relationship with Christ. So in college, I began for the first time experiencing growth in my relationship with Christ. And the things that many of you have had the privilege of learning in your Christian lives. And I wanted to serve God. I remember graduating from college. And then, as I mentioned, living with these young men to learn how to share my faith. Oh, I had tried to share my faith. One summer I bought a book called Soul Winning is Easy, Jesus Does It All. A very simple plan of how to share Christ. And it tells very specifically how to ask questions and turn a conversation to the things of Christ and help someone understand what the basic message of the Bible is. And I remember driving my truck. I worked for my father in the summers, and I was driving a truck. And I remember seeing a hitchhiker, so I stopped and picked him up. I was driving along, and I was just about ready to start asking these questions, and he fell asleep. He had told me when he got in the truck how far he wanted to go, and so we were getting closer and closer, and so finally I pull off of the highway to a truck stop, a restaurant. Very bumpy driveway, and I bumped the truck. And lasted longer than I thought it would. And he woke up, and I have to wake him up. He said, I really need a cup of coffee. Would you like to go in and get a cup of coffee? No, I'll just stay here and sleep. So I went in and had a cup of coffee and prayed and out, went back in the car, truck, and went on down the road and finally just told God, well, I'd really like to share my faith with this man, but I've done all I know how to do. I give up. And he woke up. Amazing how when we quit trying and we pray, then God works. And I asked these questions I learned, and he responded positively and expressed interest in knowing about Jesus. And so I said, would we like to just stop and talk about it? So I pulled off the side of the road and opened a little New Testament and shared what I understood of how one came to know Christ as their Savior. And he prayed and asked Christ in his life. I was shaking so bad. I wrote down his name and address so I could write to him, and my hand was shaking so hard. When I got back home, I could not read the address. Honestly. That's why I'm a missionary, you see, good penmanship and fearless. You see, I couldn't even write. That was one of the reasons why I wanted to live with these men after university, because I knew so little about how to share my faith and how to help someone else come to know Christ. So I spent a year there in Nebraska and then came here to Colorado Springs, where the Lord used Ron so much in my life to encourage me and build me up and pray with me and help me grow in my relationship with Christ. And then we were praying about going overseas. And as Jean mentioned, we were serving with the Navigators in Iowa. And we came on a little weekend retreat here. Got to stretch this out 2 hours yet. You're all looking pretty awake. I'm just going to take a couple more minutes. And came to a little retreat here. Brought some students out from Nebraska and Iowa. And when I came here, I was asked to pray about going to Indonesia. The Navigators felt it was the time to go into Indonesia following the abortive communist coup, and they asked us to consider. And I began to look in the scriptures and pray and ask God to give us leading and direction as to what he wanted us to do. And in chapters 40 through 48 of Isaiah, I'm not going to go through all those tonight, but as I began to read and pray through those chapters, God seemed to communicate very clearly to me through the Bible that he wanted us to accept the invitation to go to Indonesia. And so we told the Navigators we would go. That was 20 years ago, 2 months ago, March 1967. We made the decision to go to Indonesia. We left in the fall, and it would take 2 hours to tell you everything that happened in Indonesia, but we've had a very exciting and fulfilling time seeing God continue to answer his word, to answer prayers, to answer the kind of prayers I prayed way back from Psalm 2:8. And we, as we spent those 17 years in Indonesia, would look into the scriptures, and God would impress on our hearts and minds some of his promises and directions, and we would pray over those, and God would begin to lead and open doors. And then he would do that again and again and again. And it was thrilling 2 years ago to be able to turn the responsibility for the ministry over to a leadership team of Indonesians and missionaries who are carrying on the work of God there. And it's thrilling to be here, because it seems to me, in an unusual way, God is giving America, the United States, a new opportunity to serve around the world as He brings you to our shores. And so it's a delight to be able to look at your faces and have this week's involvement sharing together about Jesus Christ. That's just a little of my background. Carol and my wife and our three daughters are not here this evening. They will be here some during the week. My oldest daughter, Becky, some of you know, is a student at Oklahoma State University. And Lisa is a student in her second year at Iowa State University. And our youngest daughter, Cindy, just graduated from high school Friday. And so we have had an interesting week, seeing daughter number three finish high school and watching her beginning to face reality of what happens if life still continues after high school graduation. Thank you for your attention and thank you for your willingness to come here this week and study together and learn together. And pray for me as I lead you in this study of 1 Peter this week.